Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this morning is written in the 19th chapter of Luke, beginning at the 41st verse, and reads as follows in Jesus' name. Now, as Jesus drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." Then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house is a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." And he was teaching daily in the temple. But the chief priests and scribes and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear hearers of the word of priests, in the last few years, a growing number of people have called themselves nuns, N-O-N-E-S. That is, people who don't want to have anything to do with religion, people who have turned away from the church. They declare that they are now at peace. They no longer have a conflict between religion and science. They no longer feel guilty under God's laws, and they can do whatever they wish. They no longer feel disconnected with the modern world and its cry for tolerance. However, this is a false peace of the mind. Many people will feel peace, but they will also feel a deep loneliness because they're not gathered with other people to worship God. Others will see that they have guilt over their life mistakes and no way to get rid of that guilt. And still others will search for a meaning of life but find little comfort. Many people in Jesus' time also had given up on the synagogue and the church, either driven out or simply no longer concerned about the promise of the Messiah. So Jesus came to them and taught to them for 3 years in order to bring them the gospel of peace. Many of them rejected that. And so in our text, we see Jesus weeping over these people, weeping because they did not know the time of their peace. That is our theme for today. Know the day of God's peace. And it's important for us to know this for ourselves. Know it so that we don't let anyone rob us of the peace that we have. And know it so that we know what makes for God's peace that he gives us. The text occurs on Palm Sunday when Jesus was riding on a donkey into the city of Jerusalem. God moved the people to praise God and to sing praises to Jesus as the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the King, blessed be the man who comes in the name of the Lord. And as a procession rounds the Mount of Olives, the first sight is this beautiful city of Jerusalem and the temple with its golden top and the sun shining on it. And many a pilgrim who has seen this over the many years the temple was in existence have fell down and worshiped and praised the Lord for being able to see this sight once more or again. But Jesus did not do this. Instead, as he sat on the donkey, we hear him weeping, crying over Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem had been God's city for 1,000 years. God had chosen this city as a place where his temple would be built. And Solomon built a temple 1,000 years before, and then Nehemiah rebuilt that temple when it had been destroyed. The daily worship services and the sacrifices all pointed to the coming of the Messiah and the work that he would do to redeem people through the sacrifice of himself. And here, on a donkey, the Messiah was coming to Jerusalem. The pilgrims were the ones who were praising Jesus and laying down their cloaks and their palms. They were the ones that were excited about the news that Jesus had risen, had raised Lazarus from the dead. The people of Israel, of Jerusalem, were saying, "Who is this guy? Who are you praising? Because they did not know the day of their visitation. Jesus wept, as we hear in our text. "If you had known in this your day the things that belong to your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." For over 3 years, Jesus had been coming to Jerusalem and talking to the people in the temple courtyards. He had done miracles in the city of Jerusalem to show that he is God. He had spoken and preached and done all things, but the people of Jerusalem had rejected him as their Messiah. As we see in our text, they demanded even greater miracles. "What sign are you going to give to prove that you are the Messiah to come?" They were looking for something spectacular. It wasn't enough to heal somebody or raise somebody from the dead. What other signs are we going to demand of them in order to satisfy our requirements? They did not realize what Jesus coming to Jerusalem meant as he rode on that donkey. Here was God coming to their city for the last time. And they turned away from him because they did not know the things that had for their peace. These spiritually blind people used the temple for worldly gain. The religious leaders, the Sadducees, allowed the temple to be a courtyard for buying and selling of animals. And they got a kickback from the sellers by allowing that to happen inside the courtyard. And because of all of the noise, it made prayer difficult for those who came to truly worship God. The priests would also reject a lamb that was brought in from the country, finding some defect so that the person would have to buy another lamb at the higher price in order to get more money for themselves. And so this is why Jesus told them that they had turned the temple into a place where a den of thieves. The leaders disrupted the true worship of God with their ideas for earthly gain. Now we could ask, why aren't the pews filled today? I know a number of people are gone, but still, why aren't people flocking to hear this message of Christ and trying to find the peace with God that they need? The devil would have his answer, because we're not engaging people with the songs and worship that appeal to other people. We might think that the Word of God is not as effective as it once was, and therefore people are staying away, and we need to do something else to draw people in because the Word isn't good enough. These ideas are not things that belong to our peace, because they are making idol out of us instead of a worship to God. They don't belong to our peace because it's not dealing with the message of peace that everyone needs to hear. That message is rejected because people reject the idea of absolute truth in the Bible. They have rejected the law's accusations that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And they have also rejected the gospel that Jesus is the only way to eternal life. Now, these are the things that belong to peace, but they have turned away from them. We need to examine our lives to see if we have turned away from the things that belong to our peace. Do we neglect reading God's word every day? Do we neglect our prayer life and asking God for help to fight against the things of darkness and temptations? Do we see Jesus just as a blessing in our life, or do we see him as the treasure that we should have? If we think that this world is more important than heaven, we may also be in danger of turning away from the things that make for our peace. There's a second reason that Jesus wept over Jerusalem as he was riding to it on the donkey. Jesus foresaw, "The days will come upon you, Jerusalem, when your enemies will build an embankment around you and level you and your children to the ground. Within 40 short years, the Roman armies would come and surround Jerusalem with an embankment. People tried to escape and they'd be killed. Jerusalem was destroyed in such a way that almost one stone was not left on top of another. The temple itself was destroyed. And whoever was left was driven off into exile. Many of them were prisoners that were taken to Rome and executed there. Even the non-Christian Jewish historian Josephus understood that this, what happened to Jerusalem, was a punishment from God for their disobedience. Because they did not know the time of their visitation, because they took God for granted, because they tried to establish peace with God on their own terms, they did not know Jesus as their Messiah and their Lord and their Savior. In order that no one rob us of the peace, we need to know what is it that makes for our peace with God. Many in our world today are looking for peace. And so when we hear at Christmas, peace in the world, everybody is hoping that wars will end. But Jesus didn't come to establish the end of war. He came to establish peace between God and man, to establish a treaty of peace with us. For God was at war with us in this sense, that God was a God of justice, and he must punish each one of us, whoever has broken God's law. And that punishment was not just troubles here in this world, but also eternal death in hell. And this is what you and I deserve, because we have not been at peace with God by keeping his law. Neither are we at peace with other people by the way we despise others, by the way we treat others and talk to others about others, by the way we fail to love them. And so God justly could punish us for our sins, for what we do. No one can make peace with God by our own works, by our own thoughts or efforts, or by our own deeds. We cannot search for God and try and find the path for peace because our eyes are blind. We'll never find it because we don't know the things that make for our peace by ourselves. Our sinful nature already condemns us under God's law. The Bible says, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them." And St. Paul says, "The wages of sin is death." And the punishment that of death is eternal death, which we cannot pay for in our life. Now, the true God is a God of peace. The true God does not desire the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from their ways and live. God himself devised a plan, a peace plan between us and God. That plan entailed his son coming into this earth to take upon himself our life, to be born under the law, to keep it perfectly in our place, in order that he might, under the law, also suffer the eternal consequences of our sins by dying on the cross. At Bethlehem, God said, "You will have a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." That word save means to rescue, to deliver, to take us out of the impossible situation we are in and put us at peace with God. Jesus accomplished this by his innocent life and holy death. He was willing to give all this for us to establish peace with God. The Bible says, "By one man's obedience, many will be made righteous." And so it also says, "God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them." Jesus established peace with God in order that God could forgive our sins. And through the means of grace, God gave us that peace which Jesus earned for us by his life and his death. At our baptism, God washed away all of our sins through the washing of water in the Word. Through his Word, he pronounces, your sins are forgiven you. And through the Lord's Supper, we are assured that our sins are forgiven by receiving Christ's body and blood, which was given and shed for you for the remission of sins. And then we also receive that forgiveness in the Lord's Supper so that we are assured that we are truly reconciled with God, that we are truly at peace with God. Now, having peace with God does not mean that we'll have peace in this world as God's children. First, you and I are at war. We are at war with Satan, with all the forces of wickedness and unbelief that are in the world. And our weapon is the Word. The Word that dwells in our hearts and keeps Satan away, and the Word that we speak that drives Satan out of the hearts of others. The Word of peace that we say about Jesus to tell others that they too can have peace by his name. Second, we live in a world that is filled with problems. Crime, disease, war, natural disasters, greed, hatred, and death. Even though these problems may affect our lives, you and I can still be at peace knowing that God is aware of our problems. We can cast all our care upon him, and he will care for us, and he will help us and answer our prayers. Third, Jesus tells us that in the world we will have oppression and persecution because we are his children. Peace with God enables us to do as Jesus said, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Finally, as we live in this world, each one of us must experience the trial of aging and death. Since we don't know how many years God will grant us in this world, we need to be ready for that day when God takes us to his home in heaven and peace. We need to be assured in God's word that we have peace with him, that our sins are forgiven, and that Jesus will do what he says. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. The thief on the cross experienced excruciating pain as he hung on the cross. He had peace because he had a promise that he would be with Jesus in paradise. As the stones were hitting Stephen, he was at peace. He prayed, Lord, receive my spirit. Because Jesus has revealed to us the words of peace and has given that peace to us, we also can be at peace with God. Isaiah wrote, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. May God grant us that peace. Amen. Let us rise for the blessing. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. We invite you to turn to page 48 in the front of the hymnal for our general prayer. Everlasting and merciful God, we beseech you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look in mercy upon your church, protect it and sanctify it by your truth. May your word be taught in its purity and your sacraments be rightly administered. Grant unto your church faithful pastors who shall declare your truth with power and live according to your will. Send forth laborers into your harvest and open the door of faith unto all unbelievers and unto the people of Israel. In mercy, remember the enemies of your church and grant to them repentance unto life. Let your protecting hand be over our country and over all who travel. Prosper what is good among us, and bring to naught every evil counsel and purpose. Protect and bless your servants, the President of the United States, the Governor of this state, our judges and magistrates, and all in authority. Fit them for their high calling by the gift of your spirit of wisdom and fear, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. According to your promise, O God, be the defender of the widow and the father of the orphan. Relieve and comfort the sick and the sorrowful. Especially help those who are assaulted by the devil and who are in peril of death. Be the strength of those who are suffering for the sake of Christ's holy name. Grant that we may live together in peace and prosperity. Bestow upon us good and seasonable weather, and bless us with upright Christian counsel in all that we undertake. We especially commend to your care and keeping this your congregation, which you have bought with a great price. Keep from us all offenses and bind us together in the unity of your holy love. Grant that the little ones who are baptized in your name may be brought up in your fear. At your table, give to those who there commune with you peace and life everlasting. Gracious Heavenly Father, through your Holy Spirit, you inspired the psalmist to write, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. We rejoice today with our brothers and sisters in Christ in Bell Gardens, California, as their remodeled sanctuary is dedicated to your glory. We ask your continued blessings for the Christ the King Lutheran Church and for Pastor Matt Bamer, who shepherds your flock there. Let this building stand as a beacon to the community to bring light of your word to all, strengthening your faithful and transforming the hearts of others, that all may know your saving grace through our Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, our gracious Father, who in your wisdom and mercy has taken Ordella May Pekoski into heaven, we thank you for keeping her in the true faith, especially during her illness with Alzheimer's. Comfort her family, especially our member Allison York, with a true confidence in Jesus' work of salvation and his promise of eternal life to all who trust in him. We thank you for providing Ordella with helpers that cared for her. Grant that we who still continue in this life amid earthly dangers, temptations, and troubles may be protected by your word and may finally come to eternal salvation, which is ours through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Be merciful, O God, to all according to your great love in Christ Jesus, our Lord. When our final hour shall come, grant us a blessed departure from this world, and on the last day, a resurrection to your glory. Amen. Grant us your peace, O Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.